Blog Talk Radio.
And all access football exclusive.
Good morning and welcome to 8 in the Box. I'm your host, Football Rob. We are powered by All Access Football. I want you to check us out on collegefootballinsiders.com, nfldraftbible.com, and also fsc.fm, the fantasy sports channel. And hit us up in the chat room if you don't mind, because we want to get some chatter going, man. We're going to recap the week that was, week 15 in the NFL. And there's been a lot of off-the-field news. We're going to be talking about that today. Brad Childress, does he have control of his team? Chris Henry's funerals today. And Mike Holmgren, he's also been in the news, going to take control over the Cleveland Browns. Good luck with that one. But first, now, we're going to welcome in our first guest. He was definitely watching that Redskins debacle last night. It's Paul Van Scott on the line. And Paul, I have one simple question for you. Oh, what the hell was that?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, it was definitely the worst game of the year for the Redskins. I know that. They couldn't get anything done. I mean, they've been playing better the last few weeks, but last night, total disaster, pretty much every aspect of the game. So I don't know if they just decided to mail it in because it's the holiday week or what, but yeah, you're right. It was terrible.
And I think the most unbelievable part of this game was right before the half, they had a chance to get a field goal, at least get some momentum going into the locker room there in intermission, and they did some cockamamie nonsense that I've never seen before. Have you ever seen a play like that at any level, high school, college, or pro?
I've seen some high school teams try that kind of thing, and it's usually when they when they're really overmatched, and maybe that's what Zorn was thinking. And I think the oddest part was that, you know, the fact that he'd shown what he was going to do, the Giants call the timeout, Coughlin calls the timeout, and he goes back to it anyway. Now, he did this earlier in the year on a fake field goal where he kind of showed it, and then there was I can't remember if it was a timeout or a penalty, and then he went back to it, and it was successful, so maybe that was in the back of his mind. But once you show something like that, you don't go back to it, and he tried to do it, and you know, after the timeout, the Giants had the whole timeout to talk about this crazy situation that the Redskins were trying to pull off, just, you know, using the bag of tricks to try and score a touchdown. Way back in the first game of the year, if you remember, the Redskins scored a touchdown against the Giants on a fake field goal to make it kind of a close game. The Redskins ended up losing, but Zorn was thinking maybe the Giants were vulnerable again. I don't know, but It was just a bad call, especially to go back after the Giants called the timeout.
Right. It seemed as though that Tom Coughlin sniffed it out when he called the timeout. So to go back to it, I really got to question that. And I don't know about you, Paul, but when the Giants player, forget who it was, but when he intercepted that pass, I thought he was going to go all the way.
Oh yeah, so did I. He had a good head of steam, and had that gone all the way, Snyder might have walked down right then and fired Zorn, but it was just a terrible play. And like you said, after the timeout, you give the Giants the entire timeout to talk about what they just saw, which, you know, the only way a play like that's going to work is if you immediately catch them off guard. So it was just bad.
Your host, Football Rob, we are talking with Paul Van Scott, and we are pretty much breaking down the debacle that was Monday Night Football last night. So, Paul, was there anything that the Redskins did that was positive last night?
You know, in the first half, definitely not. In the second half, they started to move the ball a little bit better. They come so far the past few weeks. They've been playing better. They finally got a blowout win on their side. I think it was the first time in a couple of years that they won by more than 15 points when they beat Oakland last week. But then going into last night's game, I don't know if they got too cocky. I don't know if you can say that about a 4-9 team. But I didn't see anything going right. It was so bad. At one point in the second quarter, the Giants had outgained them 226 yards to -2. of the Redskins had 78 yards of offense in the first half. 45 of that was on the final drive. They didn't get a first down until late in the second half, and that was on a 16-yard scramble by Jason Campbell. So, I mean, it was just bad, and you really, it was hard to see coming, even though the records were so different. Like I said, the Giants had been playing a little lower level than they were at the beginning of the year, and the Redskins had supposedly been playing better, but just I don't see much at all that went right or that you could take from that if you're a Redskin fan or even if you're not.
And also I want to know, now that we switch gears here, we're going to be talking about the Giants. They're 8-6 now. They've got a big road win against a division rival, and that's got to count for something. So do you think they can push this momentum and use this momentum to sneak into the playoffs and get past the Cowboys?
It's going to be tough, but I think maybe they can. You know, they started out the year 5-0, and they were one of the big hot teams at the beginning of the year, then the cool down. But now, as you mentioned, with this big road win, and they definitely came ready to play. They had the playoff mentality, and we know Coughlin is such a good coach and can get the team ready for the postseason. I think they can make a push. I know that the Ahmad Bradshaw is really running well right now, and they look like they've got the fire in them to get the thing done.
And also, it's definitely something to look for. We saw the melee in the fourth quarter, and we saw that Brandon Jacobs, number 27, threw a punch, so we're going to have to see if he gets suspended. But knowing Roger Goodell and knowing that he didn't suspend Flozell Adams when he caused an absolute brawl at halftime, maybe he doesn't get suspended. What's your thought on that? Do you think that Jacobs should sit out a game?
I don't think he should sit out a game. I think he will get fined once they look at the tape. It was surprising last night that he didn't get the penalty, but he definitely threw a punch. I don't know if you could say he started it, but you know he hit the defender in the face after the play was clearly over. But then throwing the punch, I don't think a suspension will come from that, but probably just a fine. But that's just another case of they're showing the fire, the intensity. It looked like the whole Giants team had it.
Yeah, they had some intensity to spare. They could have definitely given some of that to the Redskins, and they wouldn't have missed anything, right?
Yeah, that's definitely for sure.
All righty. Well, that was Paul Van Scott breaking down the Redskin game. First-time guest, and we'll welcome you back anytime, Paul.
Hey, I'd love to be back anytime. I appreciate it, Rob.
All right, sounds good, everybody. That was Paul Van Scott, first-time guest, but he's a seasoned pro, and he knows what's going on down in the Washington Redskins realm of the world there. That was just an awful game. I really can't believe that I saw that. You know, that's probably one of the worst games I've ever seen. And I want to get some guys in the chat room. How do you guys feel about this? I want to get your perspective, because as far as I'm concerned, that was the worst game that I've ever seen. I mean, the game was over after the first drive. You didn't even have to watch the rest of it. You really didn't. It was like a total waste of time to watch the rest of it. And that's going to be interesting to see how the Giants take this momentum forward and going on to their playoff push. They're a game behind Dallas, but remember, they have the tiebreaker, so anything's possible. If Dallas, you know, if the noose tightens on Dallas and then they lose a couple of games and the Giants win a couple, anything can happen. But a lot of other news off the field we want to get to. Really unfortunate situation in Cincinnati. Chris Henry, everybody knows, dies at the age of 26, being injured in an accident, a domestic dispute. And obviously, there were some heavy hearts this past Sunday as the Cincinnati Bengals went on the road to take on the San Diego Chargers. They didn't come away with the win, but they were definitely inspired. I felt like they were inspired. They made a few mental mistakes at the end of the game that cost them the game, but you could tell that the effort was there, the emotions were riding high, and when Ocho Cinco got in the end zone, say what you want about him. I mean, you know, you could love him, you could hate him. you can think he's a total clown for changing his name and doing all these stupid end zone dances, but I mean, you really got a feel for the guy. It's pretty much like as if he lost a brother. You know, he was very close to Chris Henry, and when he got into the end zone, I think that was the most heartfelt end zone situation that he's ever encountered in his career. And you really got a feel for the guy. He was crying when they had the moment of silence before the game. He was tearing up. I think he was even tearing up when he scored the touchdown. I mean, he helped my fantasy team get to the championship round, and I got to thank him for that. Thank you very much, Chad. But yeah, we definitely feel for him, man. Anytime you lose a guy like that, man. Anytime you lose a close friend, it's got to be tough. And he showed a lot of character by coming out there and doing what he could to help his team win. But they did lose. San Diego has won now, 9 in a row. And they look great, man. San Diego is a force to be reckoned with. And I'm going to make a prediction right now, right here. If San Diego goes up against the Colts in the playoffs, I don't care if it's in Lucas Oil Stadium. I don't care where it is. This game could be played on the moon for all I care. If the San Diego Chargers go up against the Colts, the Chargers will win. That's right. You heard it right here. I'm calling an upset in the playoffs 2 weeks in advance. And here's why. This is what I feel about Peyton Manning. And this is how I feel about the San Diego Chargers. Peyton Manning, he is not, all right? I repeat, he is not a clutch quarterback. And you might say, oh, yeah, he won a Super Bowl. But if you remember correctly, he did not win Super Bowl MVP for the Colts. Rex Grossman won Super Bowl MVP for the Colts, all right? So it wasn't really so much Peyton Manning. It was just Rex Grossman handing over the victory. And then the second thing that I noticed about the Colts, they really struggle against 3-4 teams. You know, if Peyton Manning can identify the whole defensive line, you got a 4-3, he's going to pick you apart. He's just going to do surgery on you. But if you can disguise that fourth rusher and you can put him in different spots, and that's what the Chargers do. They come from all different directions. You can confuse him, and you can make him do things he doesn't want to do. He struggles against the Ravens. He struggles against the Steelers. And he obviously struggles against the Chargers because the Chargers beat them at home in the playoffs a couple years ago. That was 07, and then the Chargers went on to lose to the Patriots, and then the Patriots lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl. But the point is, 3-4 teams have Peyton's number. You remember 05 when the Steelers went to the Super Bowl and won. On their way to the Super Bowl, they happened to beat the Colts. And, you know, a lot of times Peyton Manning struggles against these 3-4 teams. So that's just a little food for thought as we look ahead to the playoffs. That's just a little something that I picked up. Want to get your guys' reaction in the chat room to that, because I'm ready for a challenge. You want to challenge me? You want to say the Colts are the best team in the NFL? Yeah, they're the best team in the NFL right now. But it's like a stock market, you know? It changes every week. Anything can happen on any given Sunday. And as hot as the Chargers are, I got to pick them to beat the Colts if they happen to meet. Because these other 3-4 teams, another 3-4 team that Manning struggles against on a regular basis, the New England Patriots. I totally forgot about them. But I'm saying of all those 3-4 teams, the Chargers are obviously the hottest ones. New England, I'm not too crazy about them this year. Steelers are done. You can stick a fork in them. They don't matter anymore to me. And the Ravens, they're teetering. They're on the brink. So of all those squads that have given Manning trouble in the past, you got to go with the Chargers there. So, and another thing that we always talk about this time of year, we talk about resting players. And that goes into the point that we were talking about Brett Favre and Brad Childress. They had a little scuffle on the sideline. He wants to he wanted to sit Brett Favre. Obviously, when you're 11-2 and you got a 40-year-old quarterback, and you don't really need this game, you didn't need it. It wasn't a must-win game by any means. So I guess he figures when it's 7-6, you know, and it's a tough game, and Julius Peppers is having a career game, maybe I sit my 40-year-old quarterback, because obviously they couldn't protect. Julius Peppers was all over the place, so maybe you rest him. But then Brett Favre's like, you know, being the competitor that he is, he's like, I'm not coming out. I'm playing, and that's it. So basically, Favre shows up his coach and stays in the game. That's what I got out of that. I don't know about you guys in the chat room, but that's what I got. It looks like... looks like the inmates are running the asylum there in Minnesota. That's what it looks like to me. I mean, it's pretty obvious that if a player of Favre's stature, like, listen, I'm Brett Favre, and you're Brad Childress. Who's ever heard of you? All right? I'm making your career memorable. I'm Brett Favre. I'm the man. I'm staying in. And then Childress is probably like, oh, okay. And plus, I mean, the guy looks like he's a cast-off. Brad Childress looks like he was a cast-off from Revenge of the Nerds. So you can't take him seriously if you're Brett Favre. You know? I mean, that's another thing you got going. He doesn't look like a coach. He looks like a rocket scientist. Come on. You don't have any respect. You don't command respect of 53 football players that have been playing since age 7. And they've been lifting weights and taking steroids for years. You know, you're not going to command respect with a crew like that if you look the way Brad Childress looks. Come on. Let's call a spade here. You look like a nerd. You don't look like you've ever played football before. You're not going to command any respect. And that's just me. You know, I could be wrong, but, I got a feeling I'm right on that one. Get involved in the chat room, guys. Let's hear what you got to say. Let's get it popping here. We've got no action in the chat room. Last week was a lot better for the chat room. I'm your host, Football Rob. You're listening to 8 in the Box, powered by All Access Football. Again, check us out on NFLDraftBible.com, CollegeFootballInsiders.com, and FSC.FM. If you haven't done that already, do it now. We are going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back after these messages.
I'm Rob Reed of BaseballGeeks.com and PlayerTrack.com. Since 2006, Greg Kier and I have been bringing you podcasts on baseball news, where we view the latest in baseball news with our fantasy baseball-colored sunglasses. We are proud to be a part of the Fantasy Sports Channel at blogtalkradio.com. Listen to us live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at blogtalkradio.com/baseballgeeks. And listen to two average Joes talk about the game that we love.
Are you one of the millions of American fantasy owners who suffer from Fantasy Sports Failure Syndrome, or FSFS? If so, coming in January 2009, a new fantasy site hits the web to cure this crippling disease. FantasyPros901.com will provide you with the essentials to win your leagues, with products like our Fantasy Draft Guide, daily podcasts, daily expert articles, and the best support team anywhere on the web. Tell your doctor you need FantasyPros901.com for your fantasy sports failure syndrome now.
Fantasy versus Reality, the show in which guys and girls are just sitting around the bar talking sports and sharing opinions. Tune in next Thursday at 11 p.m. Eastern. Don't be late or you'll be kaboomed.
More live fantasy
sports radio than anyone on the planet. 7 continuous hours of football, baseball, basketball, and hockey action each Monday through Friday. Plus 7 hours of game day frenzy on Sunday. 30 shows in all from the best fantasy sportscasters in the business, like Craig Davis of FantasyFootball.com, the Audible Cecil Lammy, Paul Greco of Melnick and Greco Fantasy Sports, and the Fantasy Football guys Lyle Conkiel and Kevin Moore. The Fantasy Sports Channel, only on Blog Talk Radio. It's a schedule you can bet on.
All right, we are back on 8 in the Box. I'm your host, Football Rob. We are powered by All Access Football. Check us out on NFLDraftBible.com, FSC.FM, and CollegeFootballInsiders.com. This just across the waiver wire. Nick Folk cut and Sean Sweezum in for Dallas. You get one awful kicker, you get rid of him, and then you replace him with another awful kicker who can't make 35-yard field goals? What's going on? I don't understand that move. It's like you dump Rosie O'Donnell because she's an ugly moose, and then you go out with Star Jones? I mean, did you really upgrade at all? It was pretty much a sideways move as far as I'm concerned. If you date that kind of, you know, whale of a woman, and then you get another whale, it's like, you know, you got two whales, you know. I don't understand. So then, you know, you got Nick Folk that can't make chip shots, and then you take a shot in, with Sean Sweezum? That's why Dallas is not going to the playoffs, all right? That's absolutely hysterical. That's probably the best news the Giants could ever hope for. You know, you made no progress with your kicker. So, as we were mentioning before the break, we have a new, we have some more off-the-field news. Mike Holmgren accepts the job at Cleveland, and I don't get that one. I mean, you got your work cut out for you, Mike. I mean, for crying out loud, they have no talent on that roster except for Joshua Cribbs. I mean, there is no talent there. I don't care what you say. You got nothing to work with there. And I gotta believe that Eric Mangini's gone. I mean, he's an idiot. He's an idiot coach. He throws bubble screens, draws, and bubble screens. That's all he does. So, you know, even though he doesn't have a lot of talent to work with, give these guys a chance, for crying out loud. You saw the Monday night game. If you didn't see it, that was a good move by you guys, because that was a horrible game. The Monday night game a few weeks back there was against the Ravens, and Brady Quinn was throwing two-yard screens the whole game. And, you know, based on what I've seen from the Browns, I can't believe that Mike Holmgren, as savvy of a football mind that he has, I can't believe he would bring back this clown of a coach, Eric Mangini. He got ran out of town in New York, and in 1 year's time, he gets run out of town in Cleveland. He sucks. I mean, when it comes to sucking as a coach, Eric Mangini has it down to a science. I mean, that's the only way I could put it, and that's going on. All right, so we've got some things going on in the chat room. I noticed Walkie 33. Is that the guy from last week that's talking about the Cowboys? he calls Nick Folk a mother folker. Yeah, well, you know what? You got Sean Sweezum, so I wouldn't be too confident if I were you, Walkie. I wouldn't be too confident of that move. He's got a championship week in his fantasy league, and he wants to know which tight end to roll with in his point per reception league, Witten or Jermichael Finley. First of all, you got to go with Witten for a number of reasons, all right? First of all, Witten's much better as a player. I mean, I don't even know why you're even thinking about this move, because Witten is clearly the better tight end. And first of all, Jason Witten has a normal name, all right? Jermichael Finley? Really? Jermichael? Your name is either Jermaine or Michael. It's not both, all right? I don't know what's going on. Maybe, you know, I got two baby daddies. I don't know if Jermaine's the daddy. I don't know if Michael's the daddy. So I'm going to just call the baby Jermichael. Maybe that's what's going on. But whatever it is, it's wrong. You can't have that name. That's just a fake name, a made-up name, a make-believe name. And based on that, you should go with Witten and you should drop Finley. All right? So that's my take on that. And if you don't like it, that's tough. That's just tough. We're going to be hearing from Ed Sheehan in just a moment from CBS Sports. He does rapidly. He does rapid reports on CBSSports.com. He was at the Monday night game last night, and I would love to hear what he has to say because he was at the post-game press conference, and I'm sure that halftime decision to do that little stupid whatchamacallit kind of pass, I'm sure they brought that up in the post-game interview. So I would love to hear what Jim Zorn had to say to defend himself about that. I mean, that's got to be the press conference of the year. But before we get to Ed Sheehan, we are going to be, we're looking at the chat room, Walkie 33. He's got some things to say. He says, in a 25-75 PPR league, need to start one running back with Ray Rice. Fred Jackson, LT, Harrison, or Snelling? I'm liking Snelling. I'm actually liking Snelling. I saw what he did against the Jets, and, you know, they couldn't get into the end zone, but he's getting the bulk of the carries, and also, Jarius Norwood went down with multiple injuries in that game. I remember he was banged up more than once. We'll have to see what the injury report says. I didn't get it this week yet, but he went out in two separate occasions during that game with injuries, and plus you've already have a banged up Michael Turner. So Snelling is going to get the bulk of the carries in Buffalo. Obviously we know Buffalo sucks. You know, they're just a garbage team, and you could run all over them. I was at the Buffalo Jet game when Thomas Jones set a career high with rushing yards. He set a team high, an all-time team high for one game in rushing yards against these same Bills. So they're definitely suspect in the run defense, and I'm going with Snelling. And he also says, Walkie also says that Jermichael Finley, the guy who I was just ripping on, is going to be the next Antonio Gates. And he says, book it. I don't know about all that. He's got a little ways to go. Yeah. Yeah, he's got a little ways to go before you can call him the next Antonio Gates. But we're going to go now to Ed Sheehan, CBSSports.com. He was at the game. He was at the debacle. And that game was over after the first possession, wasn't it?
Sure was, Rob. It was like watching the Philadelphia Eagles game a few weeks earlier all over again. It was embarrassing. That's all I can say is it was embarrassing as a Redskin fan.
And, you know, the weather was not very desirable, and I'm very glad I stayed home for that one. But you know what, though? I would have loved to have been in the press room hearing what Jim Zorn had to say about that cockamamie halftime decision where he threw the ball with his kicker and it was intercepted and almost taken back for a touchdown by the Giants. What did he have to say about that?
I was actually listening to Eli Manning at the time. I kind of heard some replays of it on my way home, but he was saying like he usually does. He kind of buttered it up, saying that I thought it would work and it looked good in practice, and we thought we could pull it out and gain momentum, and it, they just blew it. They didn't anticipate the Giants rushing. Coughlin was brilliant in calling timeout, unlike he did, prior in the prior game, and unlike what the Saints and the Broncos did when they saw the Redskins line up like that. So, it's just good coaching, well prepared. They were ready for it. And, fool me once, saying, and the Giants were ready for it.
Yeah, so what I was thinking, Ed, making that kind of a desperation move, I figured that he was trying to save his job with that play, and by having it blowing up in his face, I think that sealed his fate if it wasn't sealed already. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, honestly, sitting up in the press box, talking amongst the other reporters and the Redskin reporters, the Giant reporters were in front of us and didn't have much to say other than they were very impressed with their Giants. But the Redskins reporters, we all kind of just kept looking at each other and saying the same thing over and over again. They quit. And you could tell by watching the game that they were playing not to get hurt. They were diving at Bradshaw's feet or Jacob's shoulders and doing whatever they could to avoid getting hurt, basically, and just trying to finish out the season. And it's bad when Reed Dowdy, their best tackler, falls at the feet of Bradshaw, I believe it was, at one point in the first half, and he just looked awful trying to tackle him. This is a guy that is probably one of the best tacklers I've seen in years, and he just looked awful. So I think, from what I understand, Mike Tirico on ESPN said of LaRon Landry's attempt on one tackle that he just olayed Jacobs or Bradshaw. I don't know who it was he was trying to tackle, but that's how bad it is when the television reporters are announcing that these guys are whiffing and missing. It's just, it was embarrassing as a Redskin fan, as a Redskin individual who covers the team. It was just embarrassing. And I'm embarrassed for the NFL. To me, somebody needs to step in because these guys quit on their coach. It was night and day from the way they played against the Saints and Oakland than the way they played last night.
So my question now, Ed, the season has been over since it pretty much started for the Redskins when they lost to the Lions. And that's pretty much, I think, where it ends for them. So why did they give such a great effort against teams like the Saints and they just didn't get up for this one against the Giants?
That's the million-dollar question. Again, it was Monday night, national television. You have other GMs and other players watching you. I'm guessing maybe 15, 20 or more guys will be on a different team next year or at least trying to make another team. This is your chance to shine. And they quit. And it wasn't one or two people. The entire offensive line quit, and poor Jason Campbell had to pay the price for that. The defensive backs, all of them, were horrible. Coverage, tackling, technique, angles, everything. I know the Giants, when they play well, they look good. And they played very hard. You could see right from the outset last night. But you could also tell that was a different Redskin team playing than what played the Saints last night. So, I want to give the Giants a lot of credit for the way they played and how hard they played last night. And it's not to take anything away from them, but I just think the Redskins did not want to be out there last night, and they're trying to play out the season. And I don't know if it's because they have a new GM and they know Zorn's gone and they figure, I ain't going to kill myself for this. I'm going to try to stay healthy so I can go into next season healthy, whether it's with this team or some other team. So I don't know what to think it was. I don't, and I hate to accuse anybody of anything, but I wouldn't put past Snyder that he gave them the okay. Hey, don't kill yourselves out there. Don't get hurt. Just so Zorn doesn't look good these last three games, and he's forced to kind of keep them. I think he's got a plan in place, whether it's Shanahan or Gruden or someone else. And I'm not going to accuse it, but I wouldn't put it past him.
Interesting. Can you give us an update on Jason Campbell's status? I know he got rocked in that game, and he left with an injury. Can you give us an update on what's going on with that?
He had a sprained shoulder. I think he kind of landed awkwardly with the ball and kind of was driven into the ground. He came back out at halftime. I was watching him throw on the sideline. He looked good. He didn't look like he was in pain. I'm sure he's a lot sore this morning. And, he's playing for a contract, too, next year. He's trying to ease his way up in the top 10. This guy's going to gut it out if he can. I mean, from what I understand, it's not separated. I won't know until Zorn speaks at 12:25 today with his press conference. But, this guy will play if he can, and I think it's important for him to get out there and kind of reestablish the momentum he had gained up until last night. He had a couple awful passes where I think the pressure just finally got to him. In previous games, he was getting plenty of time. He was finding open guys. Last night, he didn't have time, and he kind of panicked and got happy feet. That's kind of been the knock on Jason all along.
And we are talking with Ed Sheehan of CBSSports.com. He does rapid reports for the Washington Redskins. And I want to get your take, Ed, on the situation there. It's pretty much assumed that Jim Zorn is a lame duck coach. He's not going to be there next year. And Shanahan's name's come up, and you mentioned Gruden. Who do you think is the front runner to take over as head coach for the Redskins?
Well, Rob, everybody's saying it's Shanahan. It's a done deal. You got all these experts, the guys that have the inside track, that sit up in Daniel Snyder's booth, that have the insight with the Redskins PR people, the Schefters, the Mortensons of the world, and they're all saying it's Shanahan. And I heard from two reliable sources that Shanahan's already signed the deal, and it's just a matter of finishing the season. You hear all this talk coming out, but I should remind everybody that the history of Daniel Snyder is to use his smoke and mirror technique to throw you off the trail. He likes to make you think it's going to be one person so that the media will follow that individual, and they're off the trail, so to speak, on who he's really working with behind the scenes. I mean, nobody saw Schottenheimer coming when he hired him. Nobody saw Spurrier coming when he hired him. Nobody definitely heard about Gibbs when he was hired. That came out of the blue the second time around. And here of late, nobody saw Jim Zorn being named the head coach after he was named quarterback coach and offensive coordinator. And definitely nobody saw Bruce Allen just last week. Nobody had wind of it. Nobody even speculated. This is the way he operates. He does things behind the scenes. He lets you think it's somebody else. Everybody goes and focuses their attention on that individual. When I say everybody, I'm meaning the media is focusing on these guys. And then he's working behind the scenes with who he's really hiring. So I'm not saying it's not Shanahan, but he likes to throw out these fake scents so that, the focus is on that individual when he's really working with Gruden or Cower or Dungy behind the scenes. It's going to be a big name, I can tell you that. Chances are, it's not going to be a college coach again. He's gone down that road. It didn't work. He needs a respectable NFL coach that has had success in this league, and the names I just rattled off, Coward, Gruden, Dungy, those are the guys he's probably looking at. Whether he can convince Tony Dungy to come out of retirement or not, I don't know. Whether he can get Gruden out of the ESPN booth, I don't know. Whether he can get Coward to come coach for him and promise to stay out of his way, I don't know. But don't be surprised. Money makes people do funny things, and if he throws enough at them, they may do it. So.
Yeah, money talks and something else walks. We know that saying very well. That was Ed Sheehan from CBSSports.com. I want to thank him for calling in and sharing some insight about the debacle that happened last night. We're going to take a quick commercial break, everybody, and we will be right back after these messages.
I'm Rob Reed of BaseballGeeks.com and PlayerTrack.com. Since 2006, Greg Kier and I have been bringing you podcasts on baseball news, where we view the latest in baseball news with our fantasy baseball-colored sunglasses. We are proud to be a part of the Fantasy Sports Channel at BlogTalkRadio.com. Listen to us live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at BlogTalkRadio.com/BaseballGeeks. And listen to two average Joes talk about the game that we love.
Are you one of the millions of American fantasy owners who suffer from fantasy sports failure syndrome, or FSFS? If so, coming in January 2009, a new fantasy site hits the web to cure this crippling disease. FantasyPros901.com will provide you with the essentials to win your leagues, with products like our fantasy draft guide, daily podcasts, daily expert articles, and the best support team anywhere on the web. Tell your doctor you need FantasyPros911.com for your fantasy sports failure syndrome now.
Fantasy versus reality, the show in which guys and girls are just sitting around the bar talking sports and sharing opinions. Tune in next Thursday at 11 p.m. Eastern. Don't be late or you'll be kaboomed. More live fantasy sports radio than anyone on the planet. 7 continuous hours of football, baseball, basketball, and hockey action each Monday through Friday. Plus 7 hours of game day frenzy on Sunday. 30 shows in all from the best fantasy sportscasters in the business, like Craig Davis of FantasyFootball.com, the Audible Cecil Lamming, Paul Greco of Mel Nick and Greco Fantasy Sports, and the Fantasy Football guys Lyle Conkiel and Kevin Moore. The Fantasy Sports Channel, only on Blog Talk Radio. It's a schedule you can bet on.
All right, we are back on 8 in the Box. I'm your host, Football Rob, powered by All Access Football. Be sure to check out our other websites, collegefootballinsiders.com, NFLDraftBible.com, and also FSC.fm. So we pretty much recapped the week that was Week 15, Indianapolis defeating Jacksonville on Thursday night, 35-31, Dallas defeating New Orleans 24-17, and the games that I watched Sunday, Jets, oh, what a garbage team they are. They had every opportunity to win that game. They had three missed field. They screwed up a field goal every single possible way you could screw one up. They had one blocked, they had one missed, and they had a bobbled snap. I mean, that's just despicable, especially when you consider that Atlanta has nothing to play for, and the Jets are in the mix of a wild card contention, and they just took a dump. They just took a dump. And Mark Sanchez, he did not look good at all. He did not look comfortable out there. I don't know if it was the weather. I don't know if it had something to do with the defense there. But whatever it was, he looked bad. And this is not the first time this season that he's looked out of his element. There's quite a few games, and I was at the Jets Bills where he threw five interceptions and he fumbled once. He had six turnovers in one game. This is not the first time that he struggled. He has had an up and down rookie season, and even though I want to back him and say that he's probably one of the best young quarterbacks that they've had since, you know, whatever, he's not getting it done right now. I mean, he may be good next year or 2 years from now, but right now he's... And this is coming from a guy that's... I've backed him the whole way. He is looking very bad. Very erratic. So he's definitely got to step it up if they've even got a shot anymore at going to the playoffs. And there's a number of teams at 7-7, so we're going to have to see how that shakes out. You've got the Pittsburgh Steelers at 7-7, Jacksonville 7-7, Jets at 7-7, Texans at 7-7, and like 17 other teams at 7-7. So it's going to be interesting to see which team emerges from the pack. Probably none of them emerge from the pack, because the couple of 8-win teams, Denver Broncos and the Ravens, if the playoffs started today, those would be the two wild card teams. So maybe none of those 7-7 teams will step up and be accounted for, because that's how they got to 7-7. They're all erratic. They all have flaws. Oh, Miami is another one that's 7-7. So, you know, all these teams, that's why they are where they are, because they can't consistently put anything together. So, looking ahead, week 16. Wow, geez, you know, this season just totally flew by. Can't believe it. It's almost over. Christmas night, San Diego, Tennessee. Got to go with San Diego in that one. Other intriguing matchups. I don't know if they're intriguing, but maybe they are. Houston and Miami, couple of 7-7s trying to duke it out. Carolina and Giants. Oakland and Cleveland, that's the game of the week. Wow, there are a lot of crappy games late in the season. You ever notice that? There are like a bunch of crappy games with teams that nobody cares about going up against each other. Wow, that is such a bad game. I feel sorry for anybody that has to watch that game, because that's the only one that they have. That's why DirecTV is a godsend. So if you live in Oakland or you live in Cleveland, that game's probably blacked out anyway. So, all right, so other games that are intriguing: Jacksonville and New England, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Detroit, no. Anything that has to do with Detroit is a no. Denver and Philly, that is an interesting one. Interconference galactic battle right there. Now, Denver has been shaky, and Philly looks very good. And Philly's at home, so I got to go with Philly on that one. Jets and Indy. You got to wonder, is Peyton going to play the whole game? Now that comes into play. Now that they're 14-0, they've got everything wrapped up. But you know what? You know what I found? What was pretty interesting? They didn't sit anybody last week, and everything was wrapped up then. But they still, on a short week, they let all the starters play, and that was a pretty good game, the Jacksonville Indy game. And they didn't. Jim Caldwell didn't sit anybody there. So I wonder if that's his MO. He's just not going to sit anymore. He's just going to ride the whole thing out and let it play out itself. I would have to think that if you didn't sit those guys last week, why would you change your philosophy this week? So if I had to put money down and say, is Jim Caldwell going to sit his guys? I would go with no, he's not. Just my hunch, just based on the information, I'm making an educated guess. He had everything wrapped up last week, and he didn't sit his guys, so why change now? So we got Dallas and Washington at FedEx Field, Sunday Night Football. Woo! Guys, I might take a nap for that game. I'll be all worn out after watching the the 1 o'clocks and the 4 o'clocks. I might just take a nap for that one. I won't even... tune in, but I will definitely tune in for that one, even though I don't want to. I will, because you know what, it's a game that has to be played, and I'm gonna watch it. Then we got Monday Night Football, Minnesota Chicago. That's gonna be interesting. We've already seen the nerd Brad Childress has no control over his team because he wanted to bench his quarterback, and the quarterback said no, and then Brad Childress was like, okay, never mind. So that's going to be interesting to see how that develops. But I think Minnesota should handle Chicago, especially when you consider how much Jay Cutler sucks. I mean, that guy's just a garbage quarterback. He's thrown more interceptions this year than Ryan Leaf. I mean, for crying out loud, can you just throw to your own team? Stop throwing to the other team. You know, it's like, it's getting ridiculous. It's really getting ridiculous. And, you know, he's had a horrible season. He really has. He's had a season to forget. So I would think that the pressure, the front line for the Minnesota Vikings, and that's another thing, if they all play, which they probably will, because you know Brad Childress has no backbone. The guy's got no backbone. He can't bench anybody. He just lets them do what they want to do. So you got to figure that front four, Jared Allen, the Williams boys, Ray Edwards, you got to figure those guys will force Jay Cutler to do some cockamamie stuff with the football. And I would anticipate a lot of turnovers in that game. And that's the funny thing about the NFL, though. I would have figured that Minnesota could handle Carolina, but they didn't. I would have figured Minnesota could handle Arizona, but they didn't. So, you know, you really never know. Even though I think that they should handle the Bears, you don't know, maybe Jay Cutler gets out of his funk and he throws for 450 and four touchdowns, because he's got the talent to do it. It's just, I don't know if he's got it from the neck up. He's had an awful season. Oh, my goodness. I'd love to share some stats with you, but my computer has other ideas, so I can't get those stats. But I would imagine Jay Cutler has more than 20 interceptions. I would have to imagine that. Yeah. You know it. You know it, Walkie. I'll tune in for the Cowboys Sunday night game. Oh, goodness. You know, here's the great thing about Walkie 33 in the chat room. I'm going to explain to you. I mean, we all know you're great, Walkie. We know you're great. But I'm going to explain to you why you're great. You're a Cowboy fan. You're a diehard Cowboy fan, from what I can see, from what I can read. I'm making an educated guess that you're a diehard Cowboy fan. Yet, you have the sense about you to know that Flozell Adams is garbage. He's absolute garbage. He is a piece of trash. All right? He's a half second faster than every defensive lineman in the league, okay? And the only reason he's a half second faster is because he's always offsides. He's always holding, and they never call it. They never call it on this guy. Make a call. Come on. And he's a dirty player, too. He caused a brawl in the Meadowlands. He caused a brawl in the Meadowlands at halftime. And they didn't suspend him for that. You know, Roger Goodell, that's why Roger Goodell's a jerk, okay? He suspends everybody else. He suspends every freaking other thing that you do off the field and on the field. He suspends everybody. Except Flozell Adams. It's only a matter of time before Flozell ends somebody's career with a cheap shot. Only a matter of time. I hope it doesn't happen. I hope I'm wrong. But I know I'm not wrong. All right? I know I'm not wrong. It's only a matter of time before he ends somebody's career. So you got to send a message to him. Listen, bum. You got to sit. You got to sit for four games. This is unacceptable. This is like your 57th issue. You know, it's not like this was the first time thing with him. Because remember, in week two, he tripped Justin Tuck, and he injured him. Tripped him more than once, I believe. So this isn't a first-time thing. Oh, I didn't see it. What, Walkie, what game was that where he pushed Marion Barber? Was that the Charger game? I might have seen that. I'm not sure. If I had to take a guess, I think it was the Charger game a couple of weeks ago. But according to Walkie, Flozell pushed down his own running back, Marion Barber. So this guy has to be suspended, all right? This guy has to be suspended, and he hasn't been. And it's ridiculous. You got to sit him down. You got to sit him down before he ends somebody's career. It's ridiculous. And you know I'm right, Walkie. You're a diehard fan. You love the Cowboys, but you know I'm right. This guy's a clown. Get rid of him. Oh. Oh, you know what? Walkie 33, in case you guys are just listening, you're not in the chat room. Walkie 33 says, I would love to see Flozell face Lawrence Taylor in his prime. Why would you love to see that? You're a Cowboy fan, aren't you? Your quarterback would be in the morgue. Why would you love to see that? I don't understand. I'm not following this. You would love to see a bum that can't play football against a Hall of Famer? And the bum that can't play football is on your team. Remember that. Lawrence Taylor was not on your team. He's on the Giants. You're going to have to do some explaining, Walkie. I don't quite get where you're going with that one. So I'm your host, Football Rob. You're listening to 8 in the Box. I am spewing my hatred for the Dallas Cowboys. You got to check us out on NFLDraftBible.com. You got to check us out CollegeFootballInsiders.com. And you got to check us out FSC.FM. You know what? With the remaining 4 minutes of this show, I'm going to just talk about players that I hate on the Cowboys. You got me started, Walkie. With Flozell Adams, you got me started. So here, I'm going to run it down here. I don't like Tony Romo. He's a bum. You know how I know he's a bum? Because Bill Parcells left him high and dry. If Bill Parcells thought that this guy was a franchise quarterback, he would have stayed in Dallas. Okay? He would have stayed there. I know you might say Bill Parcells left for other reasons. He has, you know, Jerry Jones to contend with. He has T.O., who's a problem child. But if you have a franchise quarterback, you would put up with that stuff. But he knows, Bill Parcells knows that he maxed out by getting Tony Romo into the playoffs. He knew that he couldn't take him any further. That's why he left. Oh, yeah, he's been very solid this year. But I'm going with the opinion of Bill Parcells because his opinion means more than my opinion or your opinion or anyone else's opinion because this guy knows football. All right? If Bill Parcells, who's the most opportunistic coach in NFL history, if he left him, that must mean Tony Romo is a fraud. Now, the other guy I don't like, Roy Williams, okay? I don't like Roy Williams. They spent a 1, a 3, and a 6 to get him in Dallas. And yeah, I know he's fast. I know he's big. I know he's athletic. I know all that stuff. But if you were drafted by Matt Millen, how good could you possibly be? Come on. He is the worst GM in the history of Earth. Yet, he drafted Roy Williams. That's a red flag as far as I'm concerned. All right? That's an absolute red flag. Then we got DeMarcus. Walkie. I don't know if that's totally true. I don't know if that's totally true, Walkie, because if you have a franchise quarterback, you can put up with a lot of nonsense from Jerry Jones. If Romo's a Hall of Fame quarterback or a Super Bowl champion quarterback, you put up with a Jerry Jones. You deal with it. But, anyways, the last guy I'm going to talk about, we got less than a minute to go, DeMarcus Ware. I mean, you want to talk about the thuggery of the Dallas Cowboys? This guy's being carted off the field. He might have a career-ending injury, and he's flashing gang signs, West Side. You're not from West Side. You're from Alabama. You act like I don't know about that. What a clown. All right. Well, that's it, man. That is a wrap. That is all the time we have for this week's show, Eight in the Box. I'm your host, Football Rob. I want to thank Ed Sheehan for taking the time. I want to thank Paul Van Scott for taking the time. And I want to thank Walkie33 in the chat room making this worthwhile. NFLDraftBible.com, CollegeFootballInsider.com, and FSC.FM. I'm your host, Football Rob, signing off.